Are you interested in buying them? I thought we discussed that. Is it broke? What's on it? You charge it? You charge it? She's not going to use it.
We got a good one.
I think it's on. Okay. 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 But I have to remember something new to come because I have to have information on the stuff that you've got in there to set it up. Now, I'm sure that it's now. Voice.
Mr. Roth.
Sir.
Yeah, Mr. Roth.
How are you, sir?
Jay, you want to remain standing?
So our commissioner portion of the joint session order. Please stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, Sheriff Richwine, you're up first.
That's right. I guess the first thing is the commission has agreed to sign a 911 contract, so I wanted to see where you guys were at as far as approving what we advertised. And then I had two transfers. $14,000 from account 10402005. That's definitely salaries. We want to transfer all that into overtime, and that's due to being short, having people in the academy, and being busy. They are on overtime. And then the second one is the medical company. Just so you guys are aware, what we've always done in the past and how it was since I've been at the sheriff's office, with the hospital, the person's booked into the jail, then the sheriff becomes responsible for their medical care. So, you know, if we get a guy that's diabetic and he goes to jail, then we start paying all those bills. If we had a person come in with HIV, we would be I hope you can hear me, because I don't like that. Can you hear me all right now? That would be almost $2,000 to $3,000 a day that we would be paying for something. What we do to try to control that is we have a contract with Quality Care. It's a health care company. They negotiate with the hospital and get bills lowered and all the things that they can do to make it cheaper. And that has saved us some money. Now, since then, probably the last couple months, the hospital has been a little more aggressive, saying, well, as a person in custody, I'll just give you the example. One of the deputies pulled a guy over on 39, had some issues with his vehicle. He gets out of the vehicle, takes like 16 methadone pills. As soon as he steps out of the truck, looks at him, throws them in his mouth. What did you take? 16 methadone pills. So this is a person headed to OD, right? So we take him to the hospital. Is that person going to be arrested? Absolutely. And we've kind of dodged these medical bills by saying he wasn't booked into jail, so it's his fault, you know, which I think, even if he's not in jail, it should be his fault. But anyway, this guy winds up getting flown to Indianapolis on a helicopter, so now we're talking about, you know, almost $30,000 in medical bills. And I'm fighting that. I don't think that's the county's bill. But anyways, where it's sitting now is with Kevin. He's not here. He's looking into it, and then, of course, the attorney for the hospital. I do have, I guess, at my disposal a pretty neat tool as far as being the Sheriff's Association. You can send out a kind of a blanket email saying, hey, how do you guys do your medical bills? And it's anywhere from where we are, you know, doing it. If they're booked into the jail, we'll pay it, to if some other police department brings them in, the sheriff pays them. So I don't know where that's going to go, but if it goes to where we start paying medical bills for people just because we've arrested them before they're ever booked in, you can see, you know, that's going to be a big expense. So, I just want you to know where that's going. I don't know where it stopped at or, you know, where we're going to wind up. But, you know, right now my stance is if they're not put in the jail, we're not going to pay them. And then, you know, get back to this transfer then. This is two bills that we've paid this year that really should have been paid last year. And we didn't get the invoices from this Quality Care and some other stuff from the hospital.
I think Sheila went down to get these transfers.
So we're transferring $3,000 from an AMLO account and $6,467 from computer services. And we'll put that in an account that we pay Quality Care Corrections out of. We looked at another medical company. There's quite a few of them around. They give us a bid, and this Quality Care came back with a cheaper bid. And I think they do a pretty good job until this issue of the hospital wanting us to pay and the other. And that's something else that the matron does over here as far as going through medical bills. And, I'm sure all of us have looked at insurance bills, and you'd want to pull your hair out looking at those things. But anyway, she does a lot of that and does a good job. She's just went through a bunch of others that we had from the hospital that some of them aren't ours, you know, and so we're not going to pay those, of course. And we are, there's a whole large thing going on with the hospital, so I don't know. We're just really starting it, but they have worked with us some to where they are going to give us a cheaper rate and understanding that, you know, this is taxpayer money, and it's not, and, you know, it has its limits. You know, I could see a big medical bill coming into the jail that, you know, could put the county in dire straits as far as money. And, you know, how it ever became the responsibility for the sheriff's department to pay everybody's medical bill just because you pick them up is beyond me.
Sheriff, I have a question for you. The Medicaid, Medicare program does not kick in until once they're booked in.
That's correct. And part of that process, with discussion with the hospital, is this quality care gives the hospital some other options as far as getting people pushed that way early on to pay those bills. And then I think, Larry, once, you know, everybody that's went through that process, what Larry's talking about is when somebody's been in the jail for 30 days, it's our responsibility to get them signed up for, is it Medicare or Medicaid, whichever one it is. And, you know, eventually then, everybody's going to be on that. I mean, we're still paying the bill, but at least it's not coming out of the county's funds. So, but until that catches up, we're kind of in this catch-22 where everybody's looking to get paid on these medical bills. So that's where we're at on that. Nothing's changed on the 911 other than I got the commissioners caught up to where you guys were. I went to you guys first because we were getting kind of a time crunch, and I've got them caught up, and they agreed to sign the contract based upon if you guys decided to go with it. So, that's it.
There was the issue with the clerk, some security issues.
I was asked at the commissioner's to address some security issues. Commissioner came to my office individually, and we had discussed some of our concerns with him. In light of what's happened in Michigan and things getting close to home, we feel like something needs to be done security-wise. We understand that the additions, remodel, whatever, has kind of been put on hold, but we really think there needs to be a plan B. My office specifically deals with the same people that go to the probation office and then go to the prosecutor's office, that go to the courts. They come downstairs from being in one of those offices, they're upset, and they come to my office to pay their fines. We have no security in our office. Those offices have doors that keep them from coming into their offices. They have to be buzzed in. Oh, circuit court, I'm sorry, it's not, but the other offices across the street do. We have one panic button in my office that's at the counter. We have to approach the counter to push the button. If there's somebody angry at the counter, sorry, I'm not approaching the counter to push the panic button. We know the panic button's there, but there's been circumstances in the past and not under Jeff's administration where the panic button was pushed and they got a phone call. Do you really need us? Yeah, they did. They wouldn't have pushed it if they didn't. Now I understand accidents happen, but, you know, I think any push of the button needs to have a response. With the remodel, the add-on not going anywhere, I really think there needs to be a plan B. Something needs to be done regarding maybe a single point of entry. When you start looking at that, you're looking at our ADA compliance issues, which also needs to be addressed. There's some representatives from other offices here. If you guys are okay, I'd like them to give you some instances of issues they have in their offices. I know Cindy can tell you about having four angry individuals coming into their office just in the last week. It's not just angry taxpayers that are coming in. It's angry criminals. It's angry felons. It's the lady who got beat up and wants to file a protective order in the office, and who knows whether that boyfriend's following her in the building or not. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed in the security, and it's not just my office. It's all of the courthouse. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know where you guys are going with the remodel, add-on, whatever the case may be. I just know that something needs to be done. We really need to start seriously looking at our security, the security of our employees, something needs to be done. I've worked in the courthouse for over 11 years and have seen my fair share of angry individuals. I've only been in the clerk's office 7 months and it scares me, and it scares my girls.
I agree with Christy on something that needs to be done. Just some ideas off the top of my head were, to get the building secure where it sits now, is you could go to a single point of entry, put a body scanner in there that people walk through. It's probably going to take two employees. I guess it kind of fits with, I don't know that we could afford to set two deputies there, but you could at least do jailers. And I think, the training that jailers get would be sufficient to be able to tell if somebody's walked through a scanner. And the other part of that side of that is those people could be rotated through there. You talk about kind of mind-numbing work of sitting there watching people go through a scanner and getting burned out and getting lackadaisical and the things that would happen just doing that day in and day out. I think with two employees and with the jail, they could be rotated. One day you're working in the jail, one day you're bringing prisoners, and just give them a kind of a rest on their mind as far as sitting there watching a scanner the whole time. The other thing I thought about a scanner like that is that whatever happens with the courthouse, that would still work. I think the new plans of the courthouse was a single point of entry, so the scanner could be used there and wouldn't be double, have to come up with something else when everybody decides what they want to do with the courthouse. So the other thing that I would bring up, and I don't know if the judge is in the room or not, but the circuit court is the worst criminals that we have as far as when we're picking people back and forth from the jail. I really hope that somebody has looked at, and this would involve Murphy and probation. I'm sure I'm not making any friends. But I think this is more important than whether, you have the office that you got when you came in, is that if you could move that circuit court over upstairs, and I don't know, I'm not an engineer, not a common sense kind of guy. It looks like there's the same amount of room there if you took probation and the prosecutor out. I don't know if the judges could share a courtroom. If they couldn't, I think there's still enough room that, I'm sure it'd be a lot of work, but I think you could put both courts over there, and then we would never bring, the thing Christie's talking about up in Michigan with a prisoner that was brought over, and he wrestles a gun away from a prison guy. So, that if we would keep them in the jail or the Justice Center, we'd never have to take them out. The building is set up for it. There's an elevator that's just for that. They come up. You can walk into the courtroom, you can bring them right out, and bring them right down an elevator. They're never out. We're looking at just not the issues with employees over here, but with walking these guys and gals across the street on a winter day in handcuffs and shackles on a slippery street. We're just asking for one of them to do whatever they want to do to get us in a lawsuit. So, I would really look at that also, but I think for something that would give the employees over here now, I think you could go to this single point of entry, and I don't know how much the scanners are. I haven't checked on that yet, but I'm sure we could find that out pretty easily. And it would be better than what it is now. I think it would be a fairly cheap route. If you start, I know Christy's talking about her office to where you would. You'd have to go into every office in the courthouse and, set it up. Though I think she should still have some of that. You shouldn't have a place where the public can just walk, in her office, and almost all of them. You can just take about two or three steps and be around the counter or over the counter if you really wanted to hurt somebody. And I know she gets those kind of people, and I know the other offices get their share. But, when we get an irate person looking for a protective order, they go right to her to get it until they get to see a judge. So, she gets some of those people. We probably dodged a bullet, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago when the guy come in there, the gal, and it was a lady, and she wound up getting shot right here in the town. So, that's my ideas on that anyways. And I really think, if we could get all the criminal justice stuff in one building as far as the courts and the sheriff's office. It would save us so much hassle. You know, when we've got to bring people over and take them back, you know, that jailer's out of the jail. It's just, you know, it's a whole other person that you're messing around with when you got to move them like that. I've not said a word about the probation, and I think the judge has probably heard me say it a couple times, but I don't know how they really feel about it. But to me, it just seems like kind of a no-brainer as far as getting both courts in the same building with this building already set up. Now, I'm sure there's some work to, you know, start building courtrooms and offices and all that, where that lies and how you divide it up, I don't know. But as far as the security, it's already done there, and then, you know, whatever we decide with this building. But I guess to get back to Christie's deal with the employees here, you know, that's the thing I see until you really decide what you want to do with this building. You can go with that single point of entry, and, you know, I think it takes two employees, because if the person that's over here wants to take time off, you got to have somebody replace that. And, you know, then I think that would kind of go with them as far as rotating that. You know, the few I've talked to about it said that, you know, that it burns people out to sit there and watch that scanner. It's not like, I don't know if we have constant traffic, but, you know, it's not. It's a job I think you want to rotate somebody in and out of so they didn't get complacent.
I think some of those places hire a company to do it, like those federal buildings. They have a company that does it. They, you know, bring them in. And I've been to a few federal buildings, and they have a security, and the guy sits up there, you know, it's usually in like lobby or whatever. They have that scanner, and he sits there when they go in. You know, like you said, they, you know, I don't know, like a person with a knife, you're like not very many seconds away to get your throat slit because of that knife. Maybe it's just about deadly as a gun. Mm-hmm. You can't let knives in either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole list of stuff I don't think you would let in, Mike. But the I think that's another part of the puzzle Christie's talked about as far as each office having a little, some kind of barrier there where people can try to break. And, you know, if somebody really wants to get in here and hurt somebody, you know how that goes. That could probably happen.
Well, I was in New York City the other day. All the gas stations have like glass and you can hand it under.
You go to a lot of, I know Kevin brought that up at the last meeting he had, where there's several buildings that way where, you know, you don't actually, you can get to touch the PBS slides up through the thing, and I don't know.
What about, I've been thinking about this for a while, because I know with the single point entry, there's something like coming down the pipe. It's just an idea I've been thinking about. Let's try to save some money for the Fenton County. If we put a scanner at the doorway, you have to go through the doorway, and they come to another door, they have to stop and hit a buzzer and actually be visualized before that door can open and they come in. Would that be something that you think would be decent? I mean, it would definitely stop the people. You could look at people coming down the pike, and you could let them in or not let them in. Based on that, it looks like there's an issue, and you can get a hold of the sheriff. There, you know, probably be pretty responsive to the situation like that, right? You let us go and send people in, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to control that buzzer? I mean, are you talking?
Yeah, somebody would have to control the buzzer. I mean, I don't know if it'd be a full time job, but somebody kind of.
It absolutely is a full time job. It's
not like somebody has to be
there. Over at your office, there's somebody that sits at that desk that lets someone in, but if they're not sitting
just
there,
the
somebody's come from another office to let somebody in. I want to make a point too that I don't think, I mean, we heard from a decent number of citizens and they shared their viewpoint on the whole ADA, the whole project. And I don't think we've said we're putting everything off. We're trying to figure out how to pay for everything and where the money's going to come from and prioritizing. And Doug and I talked a little bit about possibly, you know, maybe it's a good idea to have a subcommittee that works with Jeff to try it. We talked about this, I think, a couple of meetings ago, to prioritize commissioners, somebody from the Commissioners' Council. Sheriff, you'd probably be good on that.
I think some of them, I had been approached by a number of business owners too. They were like,
absolutely. And to prioritize, and in the meantime, we can talk about something that can work, like you said, a scanner. But I don't think, I don't want people to think we have tabled everything all together. We're just trying to figure out budget-wise how to.
Well, and back to that, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is that original plan, nothing is changing with the clerk's office. Absolutely nothing. It wasn't addressed in the plans. Not that we need to move, we need a new office or anything like that, but physically doing anything inside the clerk's office, there's nothing in that original plan.
If I might address something, if you recall, in 2013, I said the Supreme Court has an existing order that we are supposed to create a security plan. The court issues it. I created a security commission, and I was questioned by the county attorney, what authority do you have to do that? I created a committee. I sent out an email to everybody saying, what is your opinion on security in the courthouse? I think I heard from maybe two employees. I sent out copies of the order, four documents to every council member, every commissioner at that time. That has been after all this time. I created a committee with the prosecutor, the sheriff on it, an outside attorney, the president of the Bar Association with Tim Murray. I was on there. I send my paralegal to security conference every year, and also an outside person who uses the courthouse. Ms. Summers from the abstract company agreed to be on that. So we worked on that a bit, but basically we're told to come and speak to all of you. And then we began to morph in and said, well, the new plan is going to create security. So just hold off a minute. So I think we need a committee of 10 people probably to add a commissioner. I think maybe we had a commissioner on it. And to recreate that committee, we need outside people. I've talked to Lynn. She agrees with security, but what are you going to do about the hundreds of people who come in at tax time? How are you going to process them through security to pay their taxes? Lots of issues. But there's multiple issues. A couple years ago, and I got it in my email, if you look for your email, the hospital had a seminar because there's a cottage industry for security. You were probably part of that. They invited every county employee to go and participate in it. I went out there, they went out there. So they discovered, you have to differentiate. Do you have disgruntled people? Do you have an active shooter? How to de-escalate a situation? So there's more to that. The fact that you have point of entry security, that is simply a deterrent and will maybe discover deadly weapons. It doesn't protect anybody in your office who has the ability, and don't put this in paper, I hope, that has the ability to kill you. You know, come across the county and kill you if they want you dead. If you lock down the courthouse, there's lots of considerations to talk about here. I think that the incident in Michigan, they had security. That's a matter of training and execution on that training, because he took somebody's deadly weapon away from them and used it against those. And they were some sort of law enforcement people. So then you have to decide, are you going to put cameras outside the courthouse? Because if you can't get in, then your point of danger will move outside the courthouse. Everybody leaves this courthouse like a pack of wildebeest in migration, you know, at 4 o'clock. We're told not to have designated parking spaces. People park in the same space. So there's a whole cottage industry and things that we ought to know and sit down and do it. So how do you protect somebody in their office? Because if you have a point, if they want to do violence to any one of us, we're not protected from that violence by simply having a single point of entry. It may be a deterrent. They may get there quickly. But if you have a jailer without a deadly weapon, you know what? That's not necessarily going to protect you. So lots of considerations here you think you need to get back on it. And maybe that. The first plan came for the courthouse. It says that there's new construction. It has to comply with that plan. Well, that plan did not adequately comply with the transportation of prisoners. I didn't particularly look at the second plan because it was immediately put on hold. But the first plan did not. Both the public and the employees were exposed to prisoners. So I think it's, we go back to one set up a committee to work on this diligently as you would anything else. But then you're always moving. So if you have trying to have security outside the courthouse and somebody really wants to get you, then your point of danger will
will become your home or someone else. So it's always an issue. But I mean, I remember the sheriff's case. I've had two people killed on my watch. The guy waited outside and killed her right out here in the street. The other one followed her, I believe, to Monterey and killed her in front of her kids in the car. So that's why I said protective orders don't prevent you from getting killed. A point of entry will not protect you from getting killed. It has to be a broader overall thing. On moving the court over there, we are required by Supreme Court rule to split up criminal jurisdiction. I guess in theory you could give all the jurisdiction for criminal law to the Superior Court, and that would cut down on transportation of prisoners. But usually it's not criminals that cause the violence. It's the father who's lost custody. It's somebody else in all the civil matters. So, you know, that's all the things that you might want to consider. I go back to 2013 when we started this. We suggested a committee. It was put on hold. But the public has to be considered, too. You know, how much protection do... The Supreme Court says they determine courthouses being secure. So I obey what they suggest, but you have to look at it rationally. I mean, do we have more people griping at us than the 4-H leaders in the extension office about their kids and all that sort of thing, or down at the fairgrounds? In reality, we probably don't have any more deaths in the courthouse than other agencies do, you know, a lot of agencies. But we're supposed to do it. We should look at it seriously before fighting. So I think all my people are still willing to serve on a committee that I originally talked to, the prosecutor, the sheriff. Outside people like the abstractors, how are you going to get them out? And then easily, you're going to have a badge thing, a separate door, a pass-through thing. I talked to Jasper County, and I think they told me they have 2.5 boys to run a pointed, single point of entry.
Yeah, I think your idea is good. I mean, where is that? How does that happen for a group to...
To be on a group with the judge.
Yeah. Or to, you know, do the commissioners start that off? Do you guys start that off?
We have no problem in recognizing that a committee needs to be restarted, reevaluated. As part of the commissioners being a part of it, I don't believe there'd be an issue with a commissioner being on that panel.
You know, I think the important thing here is if you start it, obviously you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but things change, times change.
Sure.
So obviously all of that needs to be looked at too. But we've talked about it in a number of situations where try to get a good plan together and then try to incorporate some things. We usually get the plan together and then nothing happens. So, and we know we have to move forward on some things. We just tell us, but we all also have a budget.
Yeah, and I talked to the head of the security committee when the plan didn't comply with their rule. He's the head of the security committee for the judicial conferences in an old courthouse. He says you're never going to make an old courthouse comply with their Cadillac plan. You just can't do it. I mean, you could do it, but it would be astronomical on how you would hack a tunnel or build things over the top of the street or something. So sometimes you just assume the risk.
And you talked about taxpayers all coming at one time. I think I was downtown Chicago a couple of weeks ago and going to their Department of Education building, and you have to go through a whole tunnel of security. And so people will deal with it here. I'm sure it's not going to be that long of a line for them to deal with in Glasgow County.
So my people are still willing to meet. I mean, if you want to add a commissioner or a council person, we said we were going to meet every 2 weeks, but at noontime. But then, you know, we said, well, we're going to ask to put it on hold because Jeff was working on the maintenance plan. Through that entire process, we reviewed the things, worked with them, sent copies to Jeff, copies to the architects. The architects did not draw it to the plan to begin with, and so I'm not sure what the philosophy was. So we're willing to meet every other week at noon if you want to do that. Send some more members and figure out who they'd be. I think some employees should be on it, like Christy, the ones who have concern. Commissioner, Power, Council, with the money. Lack thereof. Yeah, she hadn't started, but she did. All right.
So do you want us to start doing something?
I'd like to say something, though. You know, I think the county needs to either think about even being proactive or reactive. I mean, we're going to say that we're going to do this meeting again every 2 weeks.
Wait.
Let's say we're going to end up doing this meeting every 2 weeks. So we started this back in 2013. And as of 2013 to now, nothing's been completed.
That's my point. So we have to have a goal in mind, and we have to have a number in mind, a figure. But so we already know that there are things that have to be done. And we talked about the things, and then we have to prioritize. So I think if you get the right people on the committee, and I'm not saying your committee wasn't good, obviously.
Well, we never met because we were asked to put it on hold. Questions are even in existence. I mean, I've hired to create a committee, but it's logical that we have a larger committee, no more than 10, and deal with it. But it's many more. It's much broader than just what kind of point of entry type of thing you're going to have. You're going to have cameras in the hallways. You're going to have cameras outside. How are you going to protect the office holder? I think what the hospital had was a good program. We should go through something like that. I mean, how do you de-escalate a situation when it gets out of hand? Yeah. Have you had any training? Anybody in this room had any training on that? Not a lot.
I think if we don't start someplace, though, you know, it's going to be just like the rest of them. It'll be another year.
Right. And I think we did the right thing by having the meetings that we've had, the open public meetings, because then we did hear from the citizens, from people that spoke up and said what they, you know, what their feelings were. And like Jay said, maybe get a couple of them involved as well. You can't please everybody, and we don't expect to please everybody. We've got to figure out what we can afford, what we can do. So I agree.
But it sort of goes hand in hand with you all deciding what you've got to do. I mean, because if you're going to add on, then it's almost a waste of money to put something here in this structure if it's going to be within a year added on to. So, I mean, it's important that you sort of come to terms with what you're going to do and how what you're going to do. Right. So you're adding to the happy point.
Are guns banned in the courthouse? Aren't they?
Some time ago, I issued an order there'd be no deadly weapons, at least in my environment, on the third floor.
Third floor, they're banned?
But that's all. No, people carrying all sorts of stuff. I mean, we've confiscated knives and all sorts of things, you know, and after a while, we had the sovereign citizens, you know, sending us something every other day.
I didn't get anything from them today.
Sovereign citizens?
No, I don't know. I get that one from somebody that I would throw away.
Well, it's always, see, all that is consideration. So are they just talking about the Constitution or are they a threat? You know, it's an issue.
Judge Stern, did you say that we cannot have, or did I hear, that we cannot have both the circuit and the Superior Court in one room, in one building, or do they suggest it being separated?
Well, no, that's a matter of logistics. If you have a criminal court or more, one criminal court, used to be prosecutors got to pick which judge they wanted to go in from. You can't do that anymore after the Mike Tyson trial. You have to, by Supreme Court rule, have to have your plan approved. One court could have all the criminal cases, you know, and the other court have all the civil cases. So that, and since there's two courts, but we've broken it down by Supreme Court approval, where he has some and I have some.
So could we still keep it broken down, but have both courts in the same building?
Well, I think you look at that and you determine that's going to be astronomically expensive to renovate that place over there for that, even if you can. And even if you move both courts over there, it still doesn't alleviate the issue of other mad citizens. And so then you're going to have a huge renovation cost here. Where are you going to put the prosecutor? Where are you going to put probation? Then they'd be separated from the court system. So
I think when they got moved over there, that was the problem. They were at the annex.
And then they renovated the
prosecutor was over here at the annex, and they put her over here because they didn't like
her. She wanted more security.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but there again, that's another cost for you all the way, if you're going to try to put both courts and build two courtrooms over there. And because there's enough caseload, I doubt you'd share the same courtroom.
So
the answer, I think, would be yes. You'd have two courtrooms in the same building, you know.
Sure. And if you had two judges, you have to divide up your jurisdiction, though. Or you can say one court does all civil, one court does all criminal, like they do in the big cities. But you still got to address irate people. And right now, during the day, you may get buzzed in over there, but there's still no single point of entry over there because they can walk in the front door, bring in a gun, and shoot anybody sitting in the lobby, right, Sheriff?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of people sitting in the lobby.
I mean, for court, if you had two courts over there. There is no single point of entry in your county building. So are the people mad at extension just as much as they're mad at probation? Well, sometimes of the year they are. So you've got three buildings. We're talking about security and single point of entry.
Well, there's so many variables built into to the scenario as we've been discussing now for about 30 minutes, which is all good. I'd like to make a recommendation, Doug, since I guess you raised your hand on possibly being the representative from the council, and the commissioner has indicated a willingness to have a representative on the subcommittee, that possibly those two, along with the judge, be the core to get together and decide how many, possibly a list of who might be representatives of various factors, whether it's the employees, business people, et cetera, sheriff's office, to form then that subcommittee of something less than 10.
Okay, well, we'll set up a meeting within the next 2 weeks. We'll probably meet at noon.
Well, that's
for people. Yeah.
That's a suggestion on my part.
What you need to consider, too, is we have to do the ADA. So we can do something, you know, in conjunction with each other.
Well, what does the ADA mean?
Oh, we have to meet the ADA.
I said, when do they meet? Because when I got out to the bridge, I got a note from Nate saying, hey, there's an ADA committee here.
You need to work there. That was through his order?
Yeah,
I'm more than willing to be on the subcommittee, but keep in mind I'm up for re-election. I don't want to get, you know, knee-deep or waist-deep into something.
Oh, I'm not running again, so I don't really care.
I've been telling everybody I'm not going to run again, so I'm just going to work doing the right thing, and, you know, I don't worry about the political ramifications. So if you want to sign somebody else,
I'll bash him up if he doesn't get back on.
All right, so, I mean, would new time be good for you guys, or another evening meeting is just to meet every evening the way it is? Okay, well, we'll call something within the next 2 weeks, and we're in, and we'll get together with you.
I'm trying to find a citizen. Are you ready?
Yeah, that's fine.
All
right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
I'll send
it.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I would like to ask before you leave.
Sure, I'm not.
And I don't see person. Well, how much of a problem would it be? You're saying that the only panic button you've got is up at the counter, and sometimes you're a little reluctant to get that close to a person.
Mm-hmm.
Why could we not, as just an interim step, not going to solve the problem totally? Have several other panic buttons installed. Is that a mountain climb to do that?
No, it's the way that those systems are, the closed systems. So no, we could actually, you know, it's a matter of running a two-line wire to wherever they're wanting to do that, two-line system.
Well, there may be other offices as well that really have
there's a lot of
tremendous concern about this situation that, in the interim, as the committee is meeting and we're prioritizing, that would give you maybe a little more relief.
There's many offices that I'm finding out that only have one button. And I won't disclose where those buttons are, but there's one button for a department. And, you know, to me, those should have two or three, four buttons in a department at desks or so on and so forth. So
so that if someone does come in, it will be taken care of. But that would be something that you would also want to talk to maintenance about.
Is there something on here that somebody set up to
Not for what we're looking at and what systems we have as of right now. That would be another cost if we went that direction. If we went with the system we have now, it'd be just a matter of running new cables for it right now. Problem with that system we have now is it's old like everything else. So we have problems with the weather, and it goes across the grid from our street and so on and so forth. So
yeah, hardwired, no wire.
It's hardwired. It is hardwired.
We have one of them yet.
We can work with Jeff and RB to sit down and do an assessment and give them the go-ahead, I would say, to start doing an interim.
They were the ones that was heading it up before.
Correct.
I think Roger Waffle put that in.
He did, Mike.
Yeah. I wasn't in the clerk's office when those were put in up there, but
you want to meet my plea? Yeah.
That sounds very well.
Judge, that would work for me, my plea.
Okay.
Before.
We'll start from
that. He probably still has some buttons.
Okay, it may be advantageous, too, to have, like yourself, Krista, so you have any questions, and go to some kind of defusing training. So then you can button the situation until the sheriff is there. I don't know who offers that or that's available.
Yeah, we have one button.
Sure.
Yeah,
but
you have the knockout. So, and RB brought up some about cameras in the halls.
Those have been brought up all the night.
Well, but he sent out inquiry. So there again, is that part of the master plan for security? Well, I'd be looking at, see, my concern was when I went out, we're doing everything piecemeal without tying it in.
That's one thing I was on the keep around. I have to do the piecemeal stuff together.
Well, we're going to tackle it as a wholesale thing then about the training and everything. So.
Probably have a security committee at all times anyway.
Sure. Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the commission report for the meeting.
No more discussion on the front commission. We still got 15, 20 minutes.
Here. Okay. And for the newspaper, I really haven't declared I'm not running the Some days it's just so much fun.
Is there any more discussion needs to be brought up?
Sure, if you want. If you got anything you want to discuss, if you want to come back after. Yeah, you got some.
Did Marvin J. I'll be here till you guys are done, so whatever you want to do.
All right. I move to adjourn the commissioner's portion of the joint session.
Okay, a second. Have a motion and a second adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Okay, motion adjourn the council portion of the joint session.
So,
we got a motion second to adjourn the council portion of the joint session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.